alluded earlier that we have a very special treat tonight. And I first met Pastor Kim Roth from the Madisonville, Indiana Church 3 years ago, roughly. And I don't know how she feels about this, but I felt like there was like a kindred spirit. There's like a link. And it's like, I like the way she thinks. This woman knows how to work the word. She knows how to see things transform by using that sword of the word with her faith and watching things change, watching the kingdom of God manifest around her. And I tell you what, when you find somebody like that, hang around them and watch what they do and listen to what they say. And you will begin to see those same things come forth around you. And tonight, I know that Pastor Kim is going to bring us some treats that we're going to want to really pay close attention to. So if y'all would just raise to your feet and help me welcome Pastor Kim Roth.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here. Amen. Be seated. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together tonight. We thank you, Father, that you are already here in us. So you've shown up. We don't have to wonder if you're here. We know you're here because you live in us. And so, Father, I thank you that we are going to pull tonight by faith to hear a word that's personally for us, that is going to send us into a new place in you. And we just thank you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every time I go and I hear somebody speak, that is my prayer. I didn't come to just sit in the pew and warm a pew. I came to hear their faith. Amen. And I came to listen to where their faith is, because I know that we live in the time of acceleration, which means that I can take what they're saying and I can take the words that they use and I can put those inside of me and I can go further. If that wasn't possible, then Jesus would have never said in his word that I want you to do greater works than even I have done, because I go to the Father. So this is our opportunity. Amen. So on the way, I mean, at home, when Pastor Jack called me, he had asked me to preach. I was really excited because I've been believing God, amen, to speak outside of my own ministry. I preach two times a week in my own ministry, and then I do a prison ministry, so I'm three times a week, hallelujah, getting an opportunity to preach the word in a regular setting, and then I'm believing for five times a week, hallelujah. So I was like, yeah, it's happening, amen. And coming up here, well, anyway, when I was at home, I said, Lord, what do you want me to talk about? He said, I want you to tell him some faith stories. So Pastor Jack called me about two or three days later after that and said, Pastor Kim, I think you need to tell him some faith stories. I said, I believe you're right. That's what I believe too. The Lord had said that the day I asked him what he wanted me to talk about. I'm going to hit a little bit about what I've been preaching in my ministry, just a smidgen, amen. And I'm not going to keep you long tonight. Because we had everything, you know, all kinds of obstacles to get here tonight. There was a semi wreck that covered the entire road. It was a country road that we always take to get to Carrollton to come here, and it was completely covered. You couldn't even get across. So they were diverting traffic. And then after we went all the way around that, and then what else happened? Oh, a train. And the train was moving. Oh, I could have walked faster than that train. I was like, are you kidding me? We tried to go around it. There was no going around it. So we just sought peace and just trusted the Lord. We're going to be accelerated. So the fact the time that we got here, that's acceleration, I'm telling you right now. So we live in acceleration. Amen. And so on the way up here, I'd asked the girls that the Lord told me to bring with me. He asked me to bring these two, and I said, I want you to tell a faith test. I want you to tell a testimony. So I gave them a hint so they could be thinking about something that you have seen in my ministry. Amen. Because there's nothing I can sit up here and tell you, but then the people that God has placed around me, they're all, you know, I take people everywhere I go, just about. I call them my crew. Amen. I got a crew, and we've done vacations together by faith. We've gone on journeys and been in places where God has opened doors that were not supposed to be opened. And they've just gotten to see a lot of things. So I wanted to hear recent, because I don't believe, I mean, I could tell you stories from years ago, which are good, but let's hear something just in the last week. So I limited them. So one's got within the last week, and the other one's going to tell you one that was pretty dramatic. Amen? So Angela is the first one. I'm going to have her come and tell within the last, just in the last maybe week or two. I can't remember. Was it the last? I don't even know. She knows. No, hers is the dramatic one. Remember? Come on up. She'll figure it out. It'll happen. It'll happen. Lord, will fill her mouth.
Hallelujah. Well, pretty dramatic one would be when Pastor Kim and I, we traveled to Branson, Missouri. And on a word of the Lord to see Billy Brim, her intercessors conference. And as we were there, before Billy Brim got up to preach, we were out and we were looking at the books and everything. And as Pastor Kim always does, she asked the Lord, okay, Lord, you know, what book do you want me to look at? What tapes do you want me to listen to? Yeah. Always asking. That's like the number one rule. Ask the Lord. And so she was asking the Lord, you know, which book is she going to be reading out of, you know, or teaching out of? And he told her and she picked it up. And we went inside of our seats. I knew exactly.
We bought it.
And
we didn't steal it.
No. I know exactly where we were sitting. We were sitting on the left. When you go into the sanctuary, we sat on the left-hand side. And you know when God does something dramatic, a lot of times you remember those specific details. So we're sitting there and she begins talking and she holds up this book. And it's the book that the Lord had led Pastor to just purchase. And she said, I want to read an excerpt out of this for you. And so she opened it and started reading, and Pastor asked the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you things to come, right? So he told her exactly what page she was reading off of, and we began to follow with her, line upon line, the exact paragraph that she was reading from. Billy Brim did not share what page, chapter she was from at all, and I was there to experience that. So I thank the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right, Miss Christine. Miss Christine is my hairdresser. She is the cause of the hair. Amen. She's phenomenal. Hallelujah. And I love her. She's been with me a very long time. So
we were in, my story's from prison ministry. I got to go with her. Usually Angela gets to go. And Angela had something to do that night. And I got an opportunity to go in. And it was the end of the service. Close to last week. End of the service. I think two weeks ago. Yeah. End of the service. And I think there were six to eight women. There were two rows of women. They all came up for back injuries. Every single one of them had back injuries. And I watched as she went down the line asking the Lord what to do, what to say. And every single one of them women walked out of that room without pain, completely healed in their body, doing things there in their body they couldn't do, bending over, you know, making it hurt. There was no pain whatsoever. It was beautiful.
Amen. That's good. Amen. Hallelujah. My mind was on the most dramatic. The most dramatic one happened a couple of years ago. I'm going to say more like four, but probably five. And we were at church, and I was over in the corner. We were meeting in a community center at the time. And Christine was playing guitar, and then I had somebody else playing guitar. And I was standing over next to the refrigerator in the community center, kind of in my little spot, not in front of the people, just talking to the Lord about, you know, where are we going with this thing, Lord? You know, I'm not seeing any change. I'm not, you know, I don't see growth. I'm just, Lord, I just need some encouragement. That's what I'm talking to him about. And because I think you need to be real with God. If you need encouragement, you should say, I just need to be encouraged today, Lord. And he is so faithful to do that. Amen. So as I walk out to get ready to preach, Christine's eyes, I think, were as big as silver dollars. I remember seeing her eyes, and she kept trying to get me to look with her while she's playing. She's
you know, with her face.
Yeah, she's trying to meet my eyes and then going like this, obvious. And I'm like, what? What? You know, it's getting ready to start service. What? And so finally, after about 3 or 4 times, I look to what she's talking about. And one of the ladies in our church was slumped over, laying on a table, and she said gray. I say that she had already been there for so long that the blood had begun to pool in her body. And I was like, oh, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I saw in the spirit, I saw the death angel hovering. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to rebuke the death angel. I want you to stop service because I want the people to see what I'm going to do. So I stopped them from playing. Everybody's standing there. Angela said she was just, I've been teaching them not to be distracted for years. So her eyes was closed. She said she didn't even know what was going on until I stopped the music. And then she opened her eyes and everybody can see her name is Miss Bonnie. And everybody could see that she's not with us. And so we rebuked the death spirit as a group. And then the Lord said, command her to live. And so we spoke it as a group, just exactly what the Lord said. And her color came back and she sat up. And I was like, all righty then. Needless to say, we had a good service after that. I was like, Lord, you are pretty cool. But, you know, you always think how that's going to happen or what's going to go on. But, you know, you just have to, if you're training yourself to always ask God everything, then you always ask him in those situations. It'll be the first thing that you'll do. And that is a dramatic thing that has happened in the ministry. And I've actually seen 2 people that way come back. And, you know, the Lord is good. He has a great plan for us. Amen. And when we just do what he's telling us to do, but I didn't start this way, you all. I mean, I grew up a Baptist girl. My dad was a Baptist preacher. And the first time the Lord told me that he wanted me to preach his word, I was 16 years old on a youth mission trip with my Baptist youth group. And the Lord had said he wanted to talk to me. So I take my flashlight and my Bible and I go in the closet because the kids are crazy. They're jumping bed to bed. Everybody's being crazy. They're jumping, playing in the pool. And I wanted some time alone with God. And I'm sitting in the closet and he gives me the scripture about he's called me to minister his word. And I said, Lord, I can't do that. Women don't preach. And at 16 years old, I won't tell you how old I am. I'm not. That's a long time ago. And in the church I was in, women couldn't even teach a Sunday school class if a man sat in that class. So for the Lord to call me to preach his word just seemed way out there. So I said, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll be a nurse. So I got up off the floor, came out of the closet, come out of the closet, told everybody that God had spoke to me, which he had, and that I was going to be a nurse so I could help his people. But that was a decision I made in the closet. And when I was 33 years old, I was miserable serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Piano player, church custodian, youth pastor. I think those were my roles at that time. And I was just unhappy. And I was on my bedroom floor crying out to God. And I started saying, if there's more to you than what I know, I want it. If there's more to you than what I know, I want it. And I heard angels speaking in tongues. That freaked me totally out. I was at home alone. When I heard it, I got up off the floor as fast as I could, got in my vehicle, and drove away. Because I had never had anything like that happen. And it was scary at the time because I didn't understand it. I didn't grow up knowing all the lingo of the Pentecostal people. I didn't know. And so it scared me. And I wouldn't go back home until somebody else was there. So 3 weeks later, I was like so grieved inside. And I knew I had hurt the Holy Spirit, not a sin that unto death, but just have offended him. He was revealing himself to me and it freaked me out. And I felt like I had offended him. Now I'm sure he's okay, you know, but I felt that way. You know how we can feel that way when the Lord doesn't necessarily feel that way. I have people tell me all the time, I feel like God's just out to get me. You know, if I come in the church, the building's going to catch on fire. I say, oh, my goodness. God is really big. And if he wanted to get you, I'm telling you, he done got you. Right? He'd already got you a long time ago. So that the building's not going to fall in. That excuse is null and void. Right? So I went back to the, because we're creatures of habit, you know, and in your Baptist thinking, you think you got to go back to the same spot on the floor. Now, if Baptists are listening to this, you've grown and you probably don't think that way anymore, but I did. And so I had to go back to the same spot in the floor on the carpet and repent and tell the Lord if he wanted to use me, I would let him. And he immediately showed me in my spirit when I was 16 years old. I had forgotten that even happened. I had gotten married. I had children. I'd gone to school. 16 years had passed. I had completely forgotten that. And so I knew from that time he was calling me then, and he hadn't changed his mind. So, you know, the Lord doesn't tend to change his mind. When he wants to use you, he wants to use you, whether you feel that way or not. Amen? We have to make ourselves available to it, and he will use us, even if it's just starting at your job. He will use you. Amen? So, or your neighbor, whatever it is, you know, just talking to people about Jesus. And so, 2 weeks later, we went to Joyce Meyer's, and at Joyce Meyer's conference, the Lord spoke to me about many things then, but the only thing I can tell you is that she said, if you want to be spirit-filled, come up. And I was like, well, that sounds like what I need to be doing. And I went up. They took us in a room. There were 15,000 women there in St. Louis, Missouri. And they took us in a room. There was probably 300. They divided us in like 300 women apiece. I don't know how many people came forward that day. But I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and began a journey. Amen? That I have not stopped. Hallelujah. And I don't intend to until I'm translated. Hallelujah. So with that being said, now that you've heard a few stories, not that more won't come out, amen, but I'm going to start with tonight, and we're going to look at a scripture, and this is going to be, I've got to pull it up, in John chapter 4, and I really am not going to keep you long. That is my confession. I want you to be able to hear the word, get the word, enjoy your nice steak dinner, amen, however you like it, filet mignon. Ribeye, well done, medium. Amen. And then be satisfied. Hallelujah. John chapter 4, I'm going to read this in the Amplified. I'm going to start at verse 6. And it says, and Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, tired as he was from his journey, sat down to rest by the well. It was then about the sixth hour, which was about noon. Presently, when a woman of Samaria came along to draw water, Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone off into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, and a woman, for a drink? Right? She knew the rules. You don't talk to Samaritan people, and you definitely don't talk to a woman. She knew the rules, so what are you doing? She was kind of like, you know, modern day thinking women, right? We might ask the same thing. The rules say this can't happen. What are you doing? Verse 10, Jesus answered. He answered her and he said, if only you had known and had recognized God's gift and who this is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him instead and he would have given you living water. Now, the first thing that, you know, where I'm at right now in the things of God is being able to see things that we cannot see. So there are things happening all around us right now, right? We know that the realm of the unseen is what created what we can see. So there are things in the unseen realm that are happening all the time. And I'm not really asking to see the unseen realm, but I'm asking for the unseen realm to be revealed to this realm. Amen. So in verse 11, it says, she said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. See, she's still dealing in the natural. I'm a woman. You're not supposed to talk to me. You're Samaritan. You don't have anything to draw with. When he was not even talking about that, right? Everybody agree he was on another page. He was talking of something she could not see, and he was getting ready to reveal to her what she couldn't see. And I say to you tonight, the Lord God in his Holy Spirit is revealing to his church at rapid speed things you do not know that you need to know to be the church of the living God that is going to walk in the glory and the power of God in these last days. He's revealing it at rapid speed. So if he's revealing it at rapid speed, we need to get on that, I call it a train, and we need to ride this train. We need to ride the train. We need to stay on the train. We need to not let distractions happen. We need to not look to the right or to the left. But we need to allow God to begin to reveal what we cannot see and do not know. Because he's got a plan. And his plan is for this church to be so glorious that the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the water covers the sea. And the glory is going to come from his people. The most strongest entity in all the world is the church. And it is our spot in our time to come forth in that strength and unity. Amen? And its unity is happening. Whether we know it's happening or not, we got to get on the train of unity. Now, if we think we got to make ourselves be unified, then we're missing the whole point. Because we don't have to make it happen. He's already done it. If the God of the universe knew Adam was going to sin, and he knew he was going to send a Savior so that he could make us all right with him, righteousness, make us all right with him when we ask Jesus in our heart. I'm going to say that again because some people were distracted. He made you all right with him. All you had to do was believe Jesus died on a cross, rose again, that he did that so that you could be completely annihilated of your sin, completely, all the way back to Adam, all the way to the end. The only difference between you and someone who's still in sin is you believe it and they don't. There's no other difference except the believing. Believing is a very powerful thing. So we are what? Believers. We're believers. We're believers in what Jesus and Father God said through his word. And we don't just believe it, we live it. And when we live it, we have it. We have what he said we could have. And it's knowing that it's already been done. God is not some frivolous God. He has long plans. In the Message Bible, it reads, I've had long plans for this, what's getting ready to take place. Long plans. So he's not haphazardly putting things together at the last minute. It has already been placed in plan from the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, where you were before you ever came here, from the foundation of the world. How do we know you were with him before you came here? Because he knew you before you were in your mother's womb. You were already there. And so we're not just going to only already be there, we're going back there. But we're going back with an understanding, which is what didn't happen in the Garden of Eden. Amen? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Oh. I'm not going to go there on that. That's a message in itself. What I'm here to tell you is that all the things that you struggle for to have, if you can only see you already have them, and you need to change seats from the seats of have-nots to the seats of have. And the way the Lord got me into this thought process was, when my son was in the 12th grade, he had to write a paper on someone he idolized. So he wrote a paper on Dr. Martin Luther King. And he wrote this paper and he went to the library because he's a very thorough individual. God's got great plans for him. He's doing great things for God now, but he's going to move into the political realm at some point. We've known that since he was a baby, God told me. So I've been praying that over his life. Amen. Interceding that out. But he was studying Martin Luther King, so he went to the library and he got the actual voice. Because in those days, you know, I won't tell you how old he is either, but things were still on cassette tape. Hallelujah. So he brought it home from the library. We put the cassette in and we listened to the actual speech of I Have a Dream. What a powerful thought process that God was allowing a man to speak. Because it was via the Spirit of God. that all men, I mean, I talked a little bit about this at the word rally, just a few little bits about it, right? Because the Lord is trying to awaken the dreamers in the church. It's our time to dream. It's our time to stand in the spot that we're supposed to be in. Amen? And so when we think about awakening the dreamer, hallelujah, the dreamers are us, that God has got a plan. He talked about it. See if I can find it really quickly because I love it. Hang on. Da-da-da-da. We got time. Hallelujah. Here it is. I'm just going to read an excerpt from it. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin nor by the content of their character. Powerful words. So here he is. He's talking. He's giving a speech. Then later we have this woman named Rosa Parks. This is how the Lord built me to where I'm at. And we were studying Rosa Parks along with him studying about Dr. Martin Luther King. And we studied about her and the fact that she was the best of what we have read and studied. And I know there's many opinions out there, but what I had read and studied, and he did too, was that she was in her right seat, just someone else wanted it. Okay? And so she was in her seat and she decided, I don't have to move. I don't have to move because I can sit here. I have a right to be here. And so one person, see, the enemy tries to tell you that you can't make a difference, just you. And he's a liar. Because you can make a difference, just you. But it's because you're driven not by what the world says. I'm not trying to cause chaos, right? Because we got people trying to make a statement of their own statement, and that causes chaos. We're talking about people called the church that have been told by God, you're created to be like Esther, or you're created to be like a Joshua, or you're created, come on, you're created to be like a Joseph, and that I want you to make a stand for the kingdom. And when you make a stand because you're lifting him up, it'll draw all men to you. When you try to lift your own self up, it causes chaos. So we're drawing, we're lifting up Jesus, doing our divine calls, and it's beginning to draw all men to him. They want to hear what you have to say because you're talking something that revives their spirit. Have you ever listened to somebody speak that the Holy Spirit is on every word they speak? It changes you. You're not the same. You walk out of that place where you heard them speak and you are forever changed. And that was because the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you changed you. He awakened you to see something you couldn't see before. That produces change. Life-giving, forever change. Amen? That's the change the church has. The church has the Holy Spirit. So therefore, when we speak what God says to speak and do what God says to do, then those words literally penetrate people's souls and it produces change. Amen? They want what you're saying. So we're studying about Rosa Parks, and I say to the Lord, Lord, please, I was in prayer, in intercession. I said, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be 100 years later, because we all know that Abraham Lincoln did Emancipation Proclamation 67 years ago. Our fathers brought forth in this continent a new nation created and conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men were created equal. He fought. I don't know if you've ever watched anything or read anything on him. This was his legacy, that all men would be made free, that all men would be made equal. It was his legacy as a president he wanted to leave. And so he set into law this ability for people to be free. Well, Rosa Parks is 100 years later standing in what he said she could have 100 years earlier. So I was in prayer and I was like, Lord, please don't let me do that in the things of God. Don't let me be 100 years receiving what you already said I could have. And when I said it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what's happening. That's what's happened to the church. The church has been given a falseness, or are people with right that love God with all their heart, but have wrong thinking or haven't been able to see what they couldn't see. So therefore they're speaking things and they're bringing bondage upon the people of God instead of loosing you. Because the Lord Jesus, when he came and he died on the cross, he freed us. So we're not just 100 years later, we're 2,000 years later accepting what he actually did. And we've got to sit in our seat. I preached a whole message at my church about it. You have to stay in your seat. Because where are you seated? Where does the Bible say you're seated? Uh-huh. In who? In him. In Christ Jesus. In heavenly places. At the right hand of the throne of God. The right hand means strength. So he has placed you in him. He's the head. We're the body. We know that we're the last of the last. So we could even say we're the foot. I don't know what part of the foot, but I know the heel is going to bruise Satan's head. But I do know we're the foot. Amen? So here we are, the church that has been listening and receiving and acting in all the things that we've been hearing and been taught instead of standing in what God has already done for us. So our eyes have to be enlightened to see what we couldn't see. Hallelujah. You're going to see that in Ephesians. Right? That's what started all of this. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Yes, this is how I preach at home. It is true. These people, people around me, they are like, they don't get a break, I'm telling you right now. There's no break. What are you talking about, a break? We are on the move. We are gaining territory. We are taking cities because we are faithful to do those things. It may seem small right now, but the Lord has told me over and over, little by little, and it will soon be much. So you take and you start where you're at. You don't have to try to get where anybody else is. You just start right where you are. And every single morning you rise up out of that bed, you remind yourself, whether you have to write it on the wall in paint so big that it takes the whole wall, that I am seated in Christ Jesus. I'm serious. Whatever you've got to do, whatever sign you've got to put up, whatever needs to be done to where you know who you are in Christ Jesus as much as you know your name, as much as you know your birth date, as much as you know the color of your skin. I'm being serious. You know who you are. And when you step out of that house or you step into prayer time, you step in him. Got it? I'm being serious. In him. In him. Okay, so in Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm so happy I can see it. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to, one of my children's calling me on my phone too. That's funny. I've got all kinds of things happening. Hallelujah. Ephesians. Hallelujah. I'm not going to tell you my age, but I may have to hold it out a little further. I'm laughing. Huh? No, I don't. No, I refuse them. Because if I hold it out far enough, I can see it. Okay, I just said 5. I mean Ephesians chapter 1. I apologize. I really need more light. Let me get up here where I can see the light. Hallelujah, I can see it. Ephesians 1:18 makes a difference when you can read it. Here we are. The eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know what is the hope of his calling, the hope of his calling. We're supposed to know what the hope of his calling was. You know what his hope was? That my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, would seek my face, turn from their wrong thinking ways. That's wicked, twisted wicker furniture, wrong thinking ways. And I'll heal their land. What else does it say? enlightened that we may know the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. You got some inheritance that we're not standing in, that we need to be standing in, because God cares about us and he wants us to have it. He sent Jesus for us to have it. Jesus, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. See, I start thinking about getting to heaven. How in the world? Everybody wants to see Jesus. If you know anything at all about the word and you get up there and you haven't gotten everything he died for you to have, it's almost kind of embarrassing. Lord, I'm sorry. I just didn't get that last little bit. No, I'm going to get that last little bit. I'm going to get every single thing that you suffered and died for me to have. I want it. That's why I started my confession. All off of Rosa Parks. See how you can revelate with Jesus? The Holy Spirit will just take you, whoosh and whoosh you. That's what I call it, whoosh you to a whole nother place. So here we are. We're seated in him. We're going to wake up every single day and we're going to be reminded, even if we have to quote this verse until we bleed that verse. Come on, you all. Why can't the church be a little radical? There are children out there tonight. Believe me, I work in an inner city emergency room. And that's my part-time job. And I'm telling you right now, there are some radical kids that they are doing extreme things to try to kill themselves. I don't know if they think they're going to die, but they're extreme. And they don't care. And you've got that kind of radicalness happening in the world, but God's people are afraid that somebody might make fun of them. You know how they're not going to make fun of you? For when they charge you because they're so mad at you. This happened at work. This woman come running for me because she was so angry. And when she got about this far from me, she flung against the wall. You want to talk about change? You want to talk about change? You don't see anything happening because most of the time we don't get out of our four walls. You get out on the street, you start talking to people, all of a sudden you're going to start seeing, man, I got some angels to take care of me. They ride with me. They keep up with me. They're like, what are we doing today? Because you're kind of fun. Come on, I'm being serious. But if we just go to work and we come home and we sleep, get up, we get in this humdrum life, we're not doing what we were called to do. We're not paying respect to Jesus, who deserves ultimate respect and honor for what he gave. So therefore, this place, and I tell my church that too, it's going to be, when you get a hold of this, when you really get a hold of this, there won't be room enough to hold everybody. Because you will be, because I knew all this years ago when I was living in a town called Wadi, Kentucky. And I lived in Baghdad for a while and I got a hold of this. And I went out that's how I met Angela. The Lord said, I'm going to send you somebody who is, got seven devils. She don't care if I tell it, do you? Seven devils. Devils tried to kill her many times. He said, I'm going to send her to you. She has pink hair. She probably did it one time. I don't know. It was kind of reddish color when I met her. And, which is a little form of pink. Hallelujah. And he said, I'm going to send her to you. And she needs deliverance. Hello? Come on. And I spent hours on my face before God. Lord, lead me to who needs to know you. Lead me to who needs to know you. I talk to him about it every single moment of every single day. Tell me who needs you. Tell me. And I don't have to go up and speak thus and these and thous and tell them a story, because the Holy One lives in me. He's just as cool as any kid out there. He will give you things to say and things in your mind that relate to them. And you know what they're looking for? They're looking for the power. They're looking for the power. That's why they're not in here tonight. Come on. Because they don't see the power in us. I'm not getting mad at you. I say this to my church too. They see the power in you. They're going to be like, I want to know who you know. Because that is really cool. That's really cool to see a dead person raised. I want to see that. That's really cool to see a broken leg that was completely crooked go back in front of your eyes back to normal. That's pretty cool. Come on. Now, it's happening in foreign countries all the time. Why? Because I feel like they don't have the health care that we have. And I'm not dogging health care. Health care is wonderful. Go, go, go. That's what I tell people. If you can believe God for your healing, get in. If you can't, get to the nearest whatever you need to get to. It's kept a lot of good Christian people alive. But at some point, if we're going to truly be the glory of God, we have got to follow him, lift him up, be absolutely radical for Jesus. Come on. And it will produce change. So I'm over here in Wadi, Kentucky. I'm so stirred with the revelations and the things God is showing me and telling me. I just got to go to the streets. I just got to go. Well, you know, Shelbyville don't have streets like Louisville. I'm just being honest. They don't have the streets. Now, they might a little then now, but they didn't have the streets back then. But that didn't matter. I went on the sidewalks and I waited till kids are always outside playing. Come on. So you just find you some kids. I'd take a ball. I'd take something and I would say, you know, I'd start playing ball and I'd start talking to them. I'd take Angela with me. We'd start talking to them and tell them about Jesus and asking them if they needed prayer for anybody in their family. And I mean, my goodness, the things we've seen happen just by talking. Hey, we're going to go to the bowling alley on Friday because they want to do fun things. We're going to go to the bowling alley on Friday. Will you ask your mom to see if we come back and get you with the church van so they don't think we're creepy? If we come back and get you with the church vans, you want to see if you want to go? Yeah, let me go see. Mom. You know? Well, let me get your number, Mom. Come on. Our church, our youth group went from 6 people to 36 people in 6 weeks. We had a massive, in the middle of, because in Wadi, Kentucky is country, we had a blowout. We didn't even know what to do when all those kids started coming and then their families started coming. That little place only held 200 people, and we were filling it to the brim because we were experiencing mighty moves of God. Mighty moves of God. But it started on my face, saying, Lord, show me one person that needs to know you. Just show me one. And from that one, it just sparked. Amen? But what if everybody got like that? Every church person in the world, and they are everywhere. You know, you get to these colleges. I was fortunate to send 2 of my children to Oral Roberts University. When you get around those kids, they are still, they're all graduated, but they are still crazy for Jesus. You know, and I don't mean crazy in a bad way. I mean, they are out there. They do projects. They do burgers for bums. That's what they do. You know, they go and buy a bunch of hamburgers from McDonald's and they take them out on the streets and they give them out. And they're out there telling people about Jesus. And you get a group of people doing that, what happens to them? They get to praying for these people and they start getting healed and they start getting their lives changed. And all of a sudden, you've got a group of young adults that are hungry for God. They are hungry for God. Now they've graduated and they still are like that. There's still numerous of them go on trips. Some of them live overseas still, went back to the places that they ministered to. Amen? Because there's a lot of things happening. Child trafficking is huge in the world right now. And there are people helping in those areas. And they're caring about people. So there's not a lack of something for us to get involved in. There's not a lack. But you seek God and do what he says. You say, I'm too old. Nope. Never too old. You can drive your car all the way up somebody's drawer almost. Really? If you think you can't walk that far, just drive it on up their driveway. Park about 2 feet from the door. Get out. Come on. I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. Well, it's you again. Yeah? If you hurry and come to church with me, I might stop coming by so much. The biggest church in Louisville right now is Southeast Christian. Many, many years ago when I was in high school, I knew some people who, actually I drove my mom to work and we passed that church every day. And it was no bigger than your bookstore. I don't know how they fit people in it. I thought it was a daycare, but it was Southeast Christian. One of the largest churches in America today, but it started out no bigger than the bookstore. And I would drive past there, driving my mom to work so I could have her car to go to my job. This is when I was 16 years old. And it was no bigger building than that. It was a brick building. And it was like that size for probably 7 or 8, 10 years. And then all of the sudden, they built this building on the other side that was about the length of a football field. From that building to the length of a football field. And then from that building, they went to where they are now, which is huge, huge conglomerate. But the point is, I knew people who went when it was no bigger than that. And I said, tell me what you're doing. You know, when I saw the building across the street, I was like, how'd y'all get on them people? I was in my Baptist church. I just wanted to hear, you know. And they said, any guests, we always made sure to go visit them within 3 days of coming. And we always took cookies. I said, that's all you did for real? For real? And they said, yeah. We always went and visited them and we always took cookies. I was like, are you kidding me? Nowadays, people be like, we can't take peanuts. We can't. You know, you'd be like, all the things you can't do. Well, then bake something you can do. That's what I tell my RV, do something you can do. I'm serious. Use your God-given skill on the inside of you. We've had Christine many times. We go to the park and we set up. We don't have any plans to have anybody come, but we take Christine. We take games. We take some snacks. We're going to teach the word and we're going to give stuff away. She cuts hair. They have to go back and get their mom to come and say, yes, you can cut their hair. We do before school activities. You know, we've done several things over the years, haven't we? Just over and over, just getting us out into the community, making a difference. And you think you're not making a difference, but you are, because you're touching people's lives and they do not forget it. They may not come to your church. They may or they may not. But remember, we're not thinking fill our seats as much as we're thinking lifting him up. I never once thought that I would fill a seat in the Wadi Church. That was never in my mind. There was 25 people at the time. That was never in my mind that I would fill a seat. All I wanted was people to know Jesus. That's all I thought. That's all I thought I was ever going to do. I was just going to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. And then the Lord would say, take the youth and, you know, do a pizza party. Take the youth and do, you know, go to somebody's house and pick them all up. Then the church had to get me a van because I didn't have a way to pick everybody up. I would start an hour and a half before service and pick every single youth up because it's in the country. You got to drive far. And I would pick them all up and bring them all in. Just absolutely consumed about people knowing Jesus because I had the best youth pastor in the city of Louisville. I still think in our Baptist church, I think she was spirit filled, but we never knew it. I think about it now. Because she would take me, this is how we grew up. She took me to, I was going to be a youth leader in Alabama, and she would drop us off at parks. And it was our job to believe God to send kids to the park. That's what we did for our summer mission trip. She just dropped us off at different parks, and we had an adult with us. And we had four members on our team. And on my team, I was the team leader. So I hear the voice of God even back then. So I was like, Lord, what do you say? He said, I want you to get everybody together. I want you to pray. I said, okay, you're going to tell me what to pray. And he said, I want you to pray that angels are going to bring people across your path that need to know me. Well, it was hot. We got dropped off at 9 o'clock in the morning. We were going to be there till 1. And she didn't come back. It was 1 o'clock before you were going to get picked up. Hey, come on. Sometimes you need to be a little uncomfortable before you decide you're going to actually do something. You know? So then we prayed and believed God, and then we walked and prayed, you know, just in English. We walked the whole park and prayed, and about 10:30, I mean, you know, we've drank half the lemonade. You know, about 10:30, I can see in the distance I ran over to our adult person. I said, come here and look. What is that coming down the walkway? And he looks, because there were trees, so we had to lean down. I said, that looks like kids. He said, it looks like kids to me, too. I said, it looks like they're coming this way. He said, it looks like they're coming this way to me, too. And it was a daycare that never came to that park. Just today, one of the leaders said, why don't we take them all to the park? And it was kind of out of the way, but they did it anyway. And they brought us 150 children. We didn't even know what to do. We had to get from other groups that didn't get anybody the whole first day had to come and help us. Because our leader didn't know, you know, there wasn't cell phones back then. So she didn't know that we were 150 strong and needed more help. We had a blast. Just off the cuff, the Lord said, do Olympics. So I started sitting up, tearing off, you know, like leaves and making lines, you know, and they had to do wheelbarrow races and we took them in into age groups. I was had them rolling with my four little helpers, you know, and the adult. And we saw kids. I mean, that week, before the week was over, because when they found out we were there, then another daycare came, and then their older siblings came. I mean, the parents dropped them off. When we left that week, we saw over 300 kids come to know the Lord. And all we did was get dropped off in a park. I'm being serious. See, we got to get out of our house. We got to get out of our house and say, Lord, where is it? Where is it you want me to be? What is it you want me to do? Maybe some of you just maybe need to go volunteer somewhere. You know, I'm not here to get paid. I'm just here to volunteer. And the whole time you're holding them babies, you're praying in the Holy Ghost under your tongue, under breath. Nobody really hears you, so don't freak out. And you're praying because they need somebody to just hold them. And you're changing lives. You know, one of the little girls in my church, she worked in a daycare for a while, and there was a baby that cried all the time. She said, Pastor, I want to pray for this baby. I don't know what to pray. And I said, Lord, what do you say about that baby? And he said, the baby has a stomach issue, we did a point of contact, like a little cloth, and she was going to lay that on the baby. And the Lord said, you take the cloth, the baby will be healed. And so we prayed over that cloth. She went back to work, put the cloth on the baby while she held it, and it completely stopped crying for the rest of the time she worked there. It was not fussy at all anymore. Come on. Come on. Making a difference. The parents wanted to know, what'd you do? You know? She said, I just held them. Jesus is good. Come on. Come on. It's not always about building. It's going to happen. Oh, you're going to have people. But what is really important is, Are we doing everything God wants us to do that day? When we lay our head down, are we satisfied with what He has given us to do that day? Amen? I can't tell you the times that I've gone and sat in a parking lot and the Lord said, see that person right there? That's the one. They've got this going on in their life, this going on in their life. And I go in the store like I'm a shopper. Come on. Like I'm a shopper. And you know what really gets people is they're looking at an item and they put it back and you go, oh, that's a really nice item. You know, it was like 20 bucks or something, this lady. She said, yeah, it is. I said, does it look good on you? She said, I don't know. I didn't try it on. I said, why don't you try it on? You know, and literally I went up to the cashier and I gave him the money. And I said, when she comes out, I'm going to tell her that somebody walked by and said that they saw her in that when she comes out and models it. Yeah, I am. And they already paid for it. And it got her so excited. And I said, you know what? I bet Jesus was thinking of you today. Come on. That come from just sitting in a parking lot. As the Lord said, go to the parking lot. I didn't know I was going to go in a store. Do you see what I'm saying? One time I'm at a gas station. And the Lord said, you see that kid over there? I mean, he had the car door open. He was digging for I don't know what. I thought he was having car trouble. And the Lord said, he pumped $5 worth of gas and he don't have it. And the man is going to be really ugly with him. And he said, I want you to go over there and say to him what he just told me. And he said, I want you to tell him I'm thinking of him today and I love him. So I went over and I said, are you looking for money to pay your gas? He looked at me. He was like, what? What? I was like, are you looking for money to pay your gas? And he was like, yeah. I said, how much is it? He said, $5. And I thought I had $5 in my pocket. And so I was like, well, it's already taken care of. The Lord told me to pay it and to tell you he was thinking of you today and that he loved you. And he was like, wow, wow, thank you. I didn't see any results of that in the natural, but I know God got the glory. And I still know. See, that's a person I'm going to pray for. I'm never going to let that person go. I don't have to know their name. The Lord knows their name. I just pray for them that someone else, another laborer, comes across their path. I got a chance to plant a seed. Somebody else is going to water the seed, and God's going to get the increase. That's the most important thing, to stay hungry for the Lord. Amen. To stay hungry, to know his voice, to know his will. Amen. And then that part right there, that our eyes of understanding would be enlightened. Woo, think about your eyes. Now let's go back to the Samaritan woman at the well. What did she not know? Jesus was talking on a whole nother level. So I'm encouraging you tonight to believe. When you sow a seed tonight, I want you to believe God that he is going to start revealing to you what you do not know. That you are going to start understanding things from God's point of view, because it's possible. Amen? I'm going to show you where it's possible, and then this will be the last verse, and I'm done. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We always got to have a scripture to prove it, right? Because that's our seed. Everybody at 1 Corinthians? Say hallelujah when you get there. I have to make sure I'm in the right spot, so hang on just a second. Hallelujah. I want to get there before you. And I'm using my phone, which is so different than my, since I can't seem to read out of my. Did I say, is it 1 Corinthians 2:16, right? That's what I thought. 1 Corinthians 2 and then verse 16. I was in an airport. Don't read it yet. I was in an airport I think I was going to Kenneth Copeland's ministers conference. This has probably been at least 5 years ago. And the Lord showed me this scripture. And in 1 Corinthians 2:16, Angela was with me. That's why I looked at her and said, it is 2:16. It says, for who has known or understood the mind, the counsels, and the purposes of God? I'm reading it in the Amplified. So as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge. See, in my Baptist upbringing, that's as far as we went. We always thought we couldn't know God. We always thought we couldn't know his ways. But there's more to that verse. And it says, but we have the mind of Christ. Say, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of the anointing. That's what Christ means, right? The anointed one and his anointing. But we have the mind of Christ, and we do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of his heart. So I started confessing that. And then after that came the Ephesians word. Then after that, just more and more understanding of him showing me things I do not know. And then I said, Lord, who else? Who else in the word did you do that with? And he said, Noah. You know, Noah didn't know how to build an ark. But I showed him things. I had already planned a way of escape for my people. I'd already planned provision for my people. All I needed him to do was to hear my voice and to do what I said for him to do. The provision was already there. It just had to be put together. For computer people, you know, I preached that to my nephew. I've been preaching it for years, and my nephew is, woo, computer, my goodness. You know, he started building computers. His uncle worked at IBM, and brought home broken computers. So he started building computers when he was 9 years old, putting broken pieces together and building computers. And he understands computers like I have never even, I mean, it's unreal to me sometimes. But I do know this. One day when he's 15 years old, I needed help with something on the computer. And he put his hand on the mouse and he leaned over me because he has an anointing from God. And he leaned over me and instantly I understood computers like he did. For a brief moment, I understood how they worked. I heard words I didn't even know existed. I was like enlightened, like you do not even know enlightened. And that's what the anointing does. The anointing that is Christ's anointing that lives on you is given to you to teach you what you do not know, to open your mind to be able to see past your capabilities, to take you into the realms of the unseen and to bring back to this earth things that are going to help the body of Christ, bless the body of Christ, but also bless you. I don't know if it's an invention. It could just be an idea. Hello? I'm unaware. But I do know something. That day changed me because I understood the anointing to a level I've never understood it before. Now, when he pulled away after he'd helped me, it stayed with me and lingered for just maybe an hour or so. And then I couldn't tell you a thing about computers again. And I thought, oh my goodness, Jesus lives in me and carries that anointing to know the Father's heart, to know his ways. So how am I going to do that? I've got to stay in him and I've got to be listening to him and I've got to expect to hear his voice. Amen. My example can outweigh the word of God. And John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice and no other voice will they follow. That's in verse 5. So you're not going to be deceived. No other voice will you follow. And I teach my people what the Lord taught me when I was 19 years old so that you don't get flaky. I always say, Lord, can you give me what you just told me in the realm of the unseen? And I heard it. Can you bring me confirmation through your word? So he'll give me book of the Bible, chapter and verse, maybe two or three verses. And I turn there and it is exactly what he just said to me. And I go, I heard you. I got it. Now, when I'm out ministering to people, I don't necessarily have to do that because I'm well versed in it. But in the beginning, I did it all the time because I didn't want to mess up. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. Do you believe it? Or does your example outweigh the word of God? I say this in prison all the time. I meet women that I've never met before ever. And the Lord will say, teach them to hear my voice. And I teach them in less than 15 minutes time how to hear his voice and how to get confirmation through the word. I mean, this past week, there wasn't a seat to sit in. There wasn't a seat to sit in because they all want to know him. And he's not keeping it from them. He wants to give himself to them. He died on the cross for them. He loves them. Amen? As much as he loves you. So no more, right? We're moving into a new place. A new place. And in that place, we're going to be hearers and doers. And you'll have testimony after testimony after testimony of what God has got you doing. Amen? And it's going to be good. And you're going to be, and people will come, but that our main goal is Jesus. Jesus. We have a promise. We have a promise that the whole earth is going to be filled with the glory. I just want to be part of the glory. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray with everybody and then I'm going to give the service back. Amen. So Father, what do you say? Hallelujah. Right now, Lord, what do you say?
Yeah, Lord. Hallelujah. There's two things. Some of you in here want to hear his voice. Amen. You start out by confessing John 10:27. I'm a sheep and I hear his voice. I'm a sheep and I hear his voice. I'm a sheep and I hear his voice. And Father, I thank you that you're going to make things known to me. And I can expect to hear book of the Bible, chapter and verse. And if I turn there and it doesn't make sense, I'm just going to shut it, calm my soul down. Because you're trying to get something to me I don't really understand yet. I can't see it. Like the Samaritan woman couldn't see that you were going to bring her life-giving water. She was living in the natural, thinking it was natural water. And Lord, we know that you're trying to get spiritual things to us so that we don't fret and toil over our bills, so that we don't take the care of our bodies, that we absolutely know that when you took those stripes, you took them so that we are healed. We're not trying to get healed. We are healed and we receive our healing. 100% healed. It tells us in your word, Father, that you quicken and make alive this mortal flesh. Quicken and make alive this mortal flesh, the Holy Spirit does. Everybody in here, I want you to see the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I want you to see that he's going to, you know, based on how much word you've put in you, he may be different size in you than he is in another person, because as much it takes word to believe. And so he can act in your life as much as you believe, right? Come on. And as much as you confess, Mark 11:23-24, right? If you believe in your heart and you believe that those things that you say will come to pass, you're going to have what you say, but you can't doubt in your heart. You can't doubt. Well, what causes doubt is because there's not enough word in your spirit man. It's not talking about your physical heart. It's talking about your spirit man. So you got to get more word. How do you get word? How does faith come? By hearing and hearing the word of God. So it's either going to be you reading it to yourself, your Bible program reading it to you, however you need to get it, but you got to get it in you. And the way it gets in you is you speak it out of your mouth and plant it in you. So you're going to have to be a speaker of the word. Thank you, Lord, that you quicken and make alive my mortal flesh. If you need healing in your body, I want you to say that. Thank you, Lord, that you quicken and make alive my mortal flesh. My pancreas works 100% because the Spirit of the Lord that lives on the inside of me is quickening and making alive my pancreas. Ooh. Now say, I receive that. You know, when it says in the next verse after Mark 11:23-24 says, and when you stand, you know, and you're praying, what does it say? You're going to have to forgive. So if you have any ought against anybody, you have to forgive. That doesn't mean you have to make it up. Oh, I wonder if I let go of Sister Susie who hurt my feelings 20 years ago. No. God, the Holy Spirit is so good, he'll bring it right up. He'll bring the person's face up in front of you when you start standing in faith. He'll bring their face up to you. When he brings that face up, you go, oh, today I forgive. I forgive, I release it, I move past it. I want my healing more than I want to hold on to offense. I'm not going to do it, Lord. I let it go. I receive my healing. Oh, see, somebody just said, I receive my healing. And literally on the right side, up under, almost at the top of your ribs, there's heat. And that heat, you can feel it. I'm telling you, you can feel it. That is the Lord healing you. He's healing that part of your body because you let it go and you receive. Receive, receive, receive. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are ministering to people tonight.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer for anything, I will stay up here, amen, after the service is closed so that people can go that need to go. You need prayer for anything, I'll be here. And on hearing the voice of God, just remember there's not a tone. You know, if we had a man talk and me talk and your eyes were closed, you could tell who was talking because of the tone. In the realm of the spirit, there's not a tone. It's a voice. It's a voice. Hallelujah. And practice on getting words. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, speak to me through your word. Show me how you feel about me today. And then listen for the book. If you don't know the books of the Bible, there are 66 listed for a number. We did that in prison ministry one time. The Lord says she doesn't even know the books of the Bible. After she'd just gotten saved, she didn't even know them. So I said, there's 66, listen for a number. She heard the number 47, we turned there. Then she heard the next number. Then she had the next. And when she read what God said to her, she wept because he spoke directly to her heart through his word. You want a life that's so connected with the Lord? Believe his word. That's who he is, his word. You want to hold Jesus? Hold his word in your heart. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I just thank you for this word tonight. I thank you that the people are changed. I thank you that they're going to see things they couldn't see before and hear what they couldn't hear before. And they're going to just see for themselves the glory of God in them, through them, and in this county in Jesus' name. You are the difference. In Jesus' name, amen.